101. Deadeye.
Moaloch is very similar to Nergaul, though instead of inspiring a battle rage, he supposedly granted visions of the future. In this, lore and theology align. Seeing the future originates with the unmade and is from the enemy. From Hesse's Mythica, page 143. Adolin tugged at the jacket standing in Captain Eco's cabin. The Spren had lent the room to him for a few hours. The jacket was too short, but was the biggest the Spren had. Adolin had cut off the trousers right below the knees, then tucked the bottoms into his long socks and tall boots. He rolled the sleeves of the jacket up to match, approximating an old style from Thelena. The jacket still looked too baggy. "Leave it unbuttoned," he decided. "The rolled sleeves look intentional that way." He tucked his shirt in, pulled the belt tight. Good by contrast? He studied it in the captain's mirror. It needed a waistcoat. Those, fortunately, weren't too hard to fake. Eco had provided a burgundy coat that was too small for him. He removed the collar and sleeves, stitched the rough edges under, then slit it up the back. He was just finishing it up, with some laces on the back, when Eco checked in on him. Adolin buttoned on the improvised waistcoat, threw on the jacket, then presented himself with hands at his sides.
"Very nice," Eco said. "You look like an honor spren going to a feast of light."
"Thanks," Adolin said, inspecting himself in the small mirror. "The jacket needs to be longer, but I don't trust myself to let down the hems."
Eco studied him with metal eyes, bronze with holes for the pupils, like Adolin had seen done for some statues. Even the Spren's hair appeared sculpted in place. Eco could almost have been a soulcast king from an age long past.
"You were a ruler among your kind, weren't you?" Eco asked. "Why did you leave? The humans we get here are refugees, merchants or explorers, not kings."
"King? Was Adolin a king?"
Surely his father would decide not to continue with the abdication now that Elokar had passed.
"No answer," Eco said. "That is fine. But you were a ruler among them. I can read it in you. Highborn status is important to humans."
"Maybe a little too important, eh?"
Adolin said, adjusting the neck scarf he'd made from his handkerchief.
"That is true," Eco said. "You are all human, and so none of you, regardless of birth, can be trusted with oaths. A contract to travel, that is fine, but humans will betray trust if it is given to them."
The Spren frowned, then seemed to grow embarrassed, glancing away.
"That was rude." "Rudeness doesn't necessarily imply untruth, though. I didn't mean an insult, regardless. You are not to be blamed. Betraying oaths is simply your nature as a human."
"You don't know my father," Adolin said.
Still, the conversation left him uncomfortable. Not because of Eco's words, Spren tended to say odd things and Adolin didn't take offense. More, he felt his own growing worry that he might actually have to take the throne. He'd grown up knowing it could happen, but he'd also grown up wishing, desperately, that it never would. In his quiet moments, he'd assumed this hesitance was because a king couldn't apply himself to things like dueling and, well, enjoying life. What if it went deeper? What if he'd always known inconsistency lurked within him? He couldn't keep pretending he was the man his father wanted him to be. Well, it was moot anyway. Alethkar as a nation had fallen. He accompanied Eco back out of the captain's cabin onto the deck, walking over to Shallan, Kaladin, and Azure, who stood by the starboard whale. Each wore a shirt, trousers, and jacket they'd bought off the Reachers with dun spheres. Dun gemstones weren't worth nearly as much on this side, but apparently trade with the other side did happen, so they had some value. Kaladin gaped at Adolin, looking down at his boots, then up at the neck scarf, then focusing on the waistcoat.
That befuddled expression alone made the work worthwhile.
How?
Kaladin demanded. Did you sew that? Adolin grinned. Kaladin looked like a man trying to wear his childhood suit. He'd never button that coat across his broad chest. Shallan fit her shirt and jacket better from a pure measurements standpoint, but the cut wasn't flattering. Azure looked far more normal without her dramatic breastplate and cloak.
I'd practically kill for a skirt, Shallan noted. You're kidding, Azure said. No, I'm getting tired of the way trousers rub my legs.
Adolin, could you sew me a dress? Maybe stitch the legs of these trousers together? He rubbed his chin, which had begun to sprout a blonde beard.
It doesn't work that way. I can't magic more cloth out of nothing.
He trailed off as overhead the clouds suddenly rippled, glowing with a strange mother-of-pearl iridescence. Another high storm, their second since arriving in Shadesmar. The group stopped and stared up at the dramatic light show. Nearby, the Reachers seemed to stand up more straight, move about their sailing duties more vigorously.
See, Asher said, I told you. They must feed off it somehow.
Shallan narrowed her eyes, then grabbed her sketchbook and stalked over to begin interviewing some of the Spren. Kaladin trailed away to join his Spren at the prow of the ship, where she liked to stand. Adolin often noticed him looking southward, as if anxiously wishing the ship to move more quickly. He lingered by the side of the ship, watching the beads crash away below. When he looked up, he found Azure studying him.
Did you really sew that? She asked.
There wasn't much sewing involved, Adolin said. The scarf and jacket hide most of the damage I did to the waistcoat, which used to be a smaller jacket.
Still, she said, an unusual skill for a royal.
And how many royals have you known?
More than some might assume.
Adolin nodded.
I see. And are you enigmatic on purpose, or is it a kind of accidental thing?
Asher leaned against the ship's whale, breeze blowing her short hair. She looked more youthful when not wearing the breastplate and cloak. Mid-30s, maybe.
A little of both. I discovered when I was younger that being too open with strangers went poorly for me. But in answer to your question, I have known royals, including one woman who left it behind. Throne, family, responsibilities.
She abandoned her duty?
That was practically inconceivable.
The throne was better served by someone who enjoyed sitting on it.
Duty isn't about what you enjoy. It's about what is demanded of you in serving the greater good. You can't just abandon responsibility because you feel like it.
Azure glanced at Adolin, and he felt himself blush.
Sorry, he said, looking away. My father and my uncle might have instilled me with a little passion on the topic.
It's all right, Azure said. Maybe you're right, and maybe there's something in me that knows it. I always find myself in situations like in Kolinar, leading the wall guard. I get too involved, then abandon everyone.
You didn't abandon the wall guard, Azure, Adolin said. You couldn't have prevented what happened.
Perhaps. I can't help feeling that this is merely one in a long string of duties abdicated, of burdens set down, perhaps to disastrous results.
For some reason, she put her hand on the pommel of her shard blade when she said that. Then she looked up at Adolin.
But of all the things I've walked away from, the one I don't regret is allowing someone else to rule. Sometimes the best way to do your duty is to let someone else, or someone more capable, try carrying it.
Such a foreign idea. Sometimes you took up a duty that wasn't yours, but abandoning one? Just giving it to someone else? He found himself musing on that. He nodded his thanks to Azure as she excused herself to get something to drink. He was still standing there when Shallan returned from interviewing, well, interrogating, the Reachers. She took his arm, and together they watched the shimmering clouds for a while.
I look terrible, don't I? She finally asked, nudging him in the side. No makeup, with hair that hasn't been washed in days, and now wearing a dumpy set of workers' clothing?
I don't think you're capable of looking terrible, he said, pulling her closer. In all their color, even those clouds can't compete.
They passed through a sea of floating candle flames, which represented a village on the human side. The flames were huddled together in patches, hiding from the storm. Eventually, the clouds faded, but they were supposedly near the city now, so Shallan got excited, watching for it. Finally, she pointed to land on the horizon. Celebrant nestled not far down its coast. As they drew closer, they spotted other ships entering or leaving the port, each pulled by at least two Mandras. Captain Iko walked over.
We'll soon arrive. Let's go get your Deadeye.
Adolin nodded, patting Shallan on the back, and followed Iko down to the brig, a small room far aft in the cargo hold. Iko used keys to unlock the door, revealing the spren of Adolin's sword sitting on a bench inside. She looked at him with those haunting, scratched-out eyes, her string face void of emotion.
I wish you hadn't locked her in here, Adolin said, stooping down to peer through the squat doorway.
Can't have them on deck, Iko said. They don't watch where they're walking and fall off. I'm not going to spend days trying to fish out a lost Deadeye.
She moved to join Adolin, then Iko reached over to shut the cell.
Wait, Adolin said. Iko, I saw something moving back there.
Iko locked the door and hung the keys on his belt.
My father.
Your father? Adolin said. You keep your father locked up?
Can't stand the thought of him wandering around somewhere, Iko said, eyes forward. Have to keep him locked away, though. He'll go searching for the human carrying his corpse, otherwise. Walk right off the deck.
Your father was a Radiant Spren?
Iko started toward the steps up to the deck.
It is rude to ask about such ones. Rudeness doesn't imply untruth, though, right?
Iko turned and regarded him, then smiled wanly and nodded toward Adolin's spren.
What is she to you?
A friend.
A tool. You use her corpse on the other side, don't you? Well, I won't blame you. I've heard stories of what they can do, and I am a pragmatic person. Just don't pretend she is your friend.
By the time they reached the deck, the ship was approaching the docks. Iko started calling orders, though his crew clearly knew what to do already. The celebrant docks were wide and large, longer than the city. Ships pulled in along stone piers, though Adolin couldn't figure out how they got back out again. Hook the Mandras to the stern and pull them out that way? The shore was marked by long warehouses set in rows, which marred the view of the city proper, in Adolin's opinion. The ship drew up at a berth on a specific pier, guided by a reacher with semaphore. Iko's sailors unlatched a piece of the hull, which unfolded to steps, and a sailor hiked down immediately to greet another group of reachers. These began unlatching the Mandras with long hooks, leading them away. As each flying spren was released from the rigging, the ship sank a little farther into the bead ocean. Eventually, it seemed to settle onto some braces and steady there. Pattern came over, humming to himself and meeting the rest of them as they gathered on the deck. Iko stepped up, gesturing.
A deal fulfilled and a bond kept.
Thank you, Captain,
Adolin said, shaking Iko's hand. Iko returned the gesture awkwardly. He obviously knew what to do, but was unpracticed at it.
You're sure you won't take us the rest of the way to the portal between realms?
I'm certain, Iko said firmly. The region around cultivation's perpendicularity has gained a poor reputation of late. Too many ships vanishing.
What about Thalen City? Kaladin asked. Could you take us there?
No. I unload goods here and then head east, away from trouble. And if you'll accept a little advice, stay in Shadesmar. The physical realm is not a welcoming place these days.
We'll take that under advisement, Adolin said.
Is there anything we should know about the city? Don't stray too far outside. With human cities nearby, there will be anger spren in the area. Try not to draw too many lesser spren, and maybe see if you can find a place to tie up that deadeye of yours. He pointed. The dock registrar is that building ahead of us with the blue paint. There you'll find a list of ships willing to take on passengers, but you'll have to go to each one individually and make sure they are equipped to take humans, and haven't already booked all their cabins. The building next to that is a money changer where you can trade Stormlight for notes of exchange. He shook his head. My daughter used to work there before she ran off chasing stupid dreams. He bade them farewell, and the group of travelers walked down the gangway onto the docks. Curiously, Syl still wore an illusion, making her face an Alethi tan, her hair black, her clothing red. Was being an honor spren really that big a deal? So, Adolin said as they reached the pier, how are we going to do this? In the city, I mean. I've counted out our marks, Shallan said, holding up a bag of spears. It's been long enough since they were renewed. They'll almost certainly lose their Stormlight in the next few days. A few have already gone out. We might as well trade for supplies. We can keep the bromes and the larger gemstones for surge binding. First stop is the money changer, then, Adolin said. After that, we should see if we can buy more rations, Kaladin said, just in case. And we need to look for passage. But to where? Azure said. The Perpendicularity or Thalen City? Let's see what our options are, Adolin decided. Maybe there will be a ship to one destination, but not the other. Let's send one group to inquire with ships and another to get supplies. Shallan, do you have a preference which you'd rather do?
I'll look for passage, she said. I have experience with it. I made a lot of trips when chasing down Jasnah.
Sounds good, Adolin said. We should put one Radiant in each group, so Bridge Boy and Syl, you'll go with me. Pattern and Azure, we'll go with Shallan.
Maybe I should help Shallan,
Syl began. We'll need a spren with us, Adolin said, to explain culture here. Let's go trade in those spheres first, though.